Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care. And we are
greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawatakwasin, to all of our relations.
History books so full of lies, when no word is spoken of why the Indian dies and dies and dies. Oh, that the Chicana loves the California land. Do our books all say it was discovered by one white man? Well, that's just a lie, one of the many, and we've had plenty. I don't want more of the same. No more genocide in my name. Oh, why are the weapons of the war so young? And why are there only rich ones around when it's done? Why are so many of the soldiers black or brown? Do we think it's because they're good at cutting other people down? Well, that's just a lie. One of the many, and we've had plenty. I don't want more of the same. No more genocide in my name. Nazi forces grow again. Ignorance gives them a place. The Klan is teaching children to hate the human race. Where once there was a playground, now an MX missile plant. Do they think it's fun and games to see just how much we can stand? People die around the world from starvation and grief all the time. Some folks try to avoid the truth by saying God and gun will provide. In Rome, in Cape Town, in Beirut, San Salvador, Greensboro, Belfast, Manila, and many more. It's a crime. Do we think the fascist right will save the world in time? They try to tell us all. We've got to tell them no.
Great greetings and hello everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, broadcast here on Global Community Radio Station, Radio for Peace International. That song was entitled No More Genocide in My Name, from the classic tune from singer-songwriter Holly Near. We featured that song as an honor to today's program guest, Holly Rowan. That song for peace and justice exemplifies the spirit of my friend who is here in the studio. Holly has devoted her life to peace, to human rights, and social justice. She is a strong defender of the environment. As a professional nurse and midwife, Holly is well respected in the field of health and women's rights. She has been a peace warrior on the front lines for many, many years. Some of our worldwide listeners may know about Holly from her 1980s anti-war activism against United States intervention in what's now called Central America. In 1987, while protesting at the U.S. Naval Weapons infamous facility, Port Chicago, her ex-husband Brian Wilson lost his legs when he was run over by a military weapons supply train at that California base. As many listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, in the 1980s, I also was deeply involved against the U.S. war in Central America and helped co-sponsor one of the first Mayan Indians to be granted sanctuary by a Native American tribal nation. I was a journalist covering the war in Abiyala, the indigenous name of this region, more commonly called Central America. At that time, I had the honor to visit a number of indigenous communities in each Central American country, until a brutal situation against Mayan Indians in Guatemala, which I exposed, got me expelled from the region. Upon my return to the U.S., I did hear about what happened to Brian, and so I am indeed privileged to now be friends with our dear sister, Holly. I am very, very honored to call her my friend. She is a sister in what I term the Earth Justice Movement, the worldwide grassroots intercultural movement to fight against globalization and fight for the well-being of all life on Mother Earth. This is at the heart of what we here at Yat Kitishi Native Center is also dedicated to. I met Holly at a 2003 Earth Charter Forum that I spoke at. I knew then that we would become friends and would work together in future community actions for Earth justice. This past year, the Great Spirit gifted us an opportunity to come together with other fine community activists to form the Southwest Florida Coalition for Progressive Television. Our TV program entitled Interconnections serves to inform, educate, and enlighten our viewers about important issues of our times. The vision and mission of our TV coalition is very, very special. I wish to read some excerpts from our brochure and websites, since these statements very well express a philosophy that I know Holly and us here at Yad Kiddushin Native Center believe in. The mission statement of Interconnections. The Southwest Florida Coalition for Progressive Television believes that many of the complex and diverse problems facing the world today stem from our mistreatment of one another and of our planet. These problems can be resolved peacefully and ethically with informed and democratic decision making. Our weekly show Interconnections will remind viewers that the world consists of one people sharing common goals to live in peace with one another and to care for our planet and our young. War and violence are not valid solutions to the problems facing humanity. All of life is interconnected. Peace is the answer. Realizing this interconnectedness of all living creatures is the way. Our vision statement reads, "The Southwest Florida Coalition for Progressive Television is concerned about the direction our society has been moving. We believe it is time to move in a different direction. Life on Earth is at a critical point. Our future and our planet's well-being depend upon what type of society we humans choose to create. Our coalition is concerned about cultural, environmental, social justice, economic, health, and peace issues. Interconnections will highlight these and other themes while providing local, national, and international perspectives. The Southwest Florida Coalition for Progressive Television serves as a voice for those not often heard. Our weekly show Interconnections will also provide you with the news and information you need to make a difference. The coalition also wants to hear from you. Please send us your comments and suggestions. And finally, the goals of the Southwest Florida Coalition for Progressive Television are to inform, educate, and enlighten our viewers about the important issues of our time, to motivate people to work for change, to provide a public forum for progressive voices, for change to be heard in our community. Well, dear friends, there are many other highlights I could mention as an introduction to our special guest, Holly, here, but I will defer to Holly to tell us more about herself and some of the wonderful things that has been a part of her life. Let me just reiterate that we of Yad Kiddushin Native Center are honored to share friendship and the important work of Earth Justice with her. Welcome, Holly, to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Please listen now to Program 2 of our Wolf Mountain Radio interview with peace and anti-globalization activist Holly Rowan. In Program 1, we discussed her involvement with the American peace movement, such as her experiences protesting the infamous U.S. Naval Weapons Base, Port Chicago, when in 1987 she witnessed her ex-husband, Brian Wilson, also an activist leader, tragically lose his legs when he was run over by a weapons supply train at that California military base. In Program 1, we also talked about U.S. intervention in what's now called Central America, Abiyala, the indigenous people's name for that part of Mother Earth, when Holly spent time in that region, especially in Nicaragua, volunteering with a project focused on health. I know firsthand how important that is, having myself visited a number of indigenous people's community when I was a journalist covering the U.S.-supported wars in the 1980s in what's now called Central America. Continuing our conversation now, Holly, my next question relates to the term I use, Earth Justice, or perhaps more commonly, environmental social justice. As you and all of our worldwide listeners know, this is the Earth ethic that guides my life as an indigenous person, as well as my work as a professional ecologist and journalist. In our traditional Native way of expression, it is spoken as the principle of the seventh generation, that is, indigenous peoples, always try to think about how everything we do affects the next seven future generations, how our thoughts and actions will impact Mother Earth and all the relations, Kinan Montakwisin, well into the future. One of the major issues and perhaps examples of my question about environmental social justice is the desecration of sacred Mother Earth in the area of nuclear technology, both military issues and nuclear power. Since my teenage years, nuclear issues have been and today continue to be one of my major campaigns to fight against. As you and our Wolf Mountain Radio listeners know, nuclear issues directly impact indigenous peoples throughout the world. Uranium mining occurs mostly on tribal peoples' homelands around the globe. The issue of nuclear testing and resulting contamination of, again, mostly native peoples' lands, waters, and communities, such as in the South Pacific Islands, or here in North America, Turtle Island, Nui Sogabia, which now called Nevada, is part of the homeland of the Nui people, Americans term Western Shoshone Indians. The Creator, the Great Spirit, we call Ketantewit in my language, has gifted me friendship with a number of Nui Western Shoshone friends, such as Elder and Spiritual Leader Mr. Corbin Harney and my brother Marlon Spotted Eagle, who works closely with Elder Corbin in defense of Mother Earth. My brother Mala, by the way, is a member of our Yat Kiddushi Native Center's Council of Advisors. I am honored to be a member of Mala's intertribal multicultural organization, Nan Ashanti. Mala and I both serve on Radio for Peace International's International Board of Advisors. We work together on an historic RFPI co-sponsored conference in Powwow belonging to Mother Earth, Indigenous Wisdom and Healing. That special gathering in 1998 brought together indigenous elders, spiritual leaders, and wisdom keepers from many parts of the world in order to discuss issues of world peace, the environment, social justice, and other concerns for the well-being of Mother Earth. Nui Elder Corbin Harney was one of those speakers, for example, which people can listen to as part of Radio for Peace International's Belonging to Mother Earth, Indigenous Wisdom and Healing conference series that we audio tape with permission, as we were requested to do by the elders and speakers. I had the personal honor to produce that special Belonging to Mother Earth, Indigenous Wisdom and Healing series for Radio for Peace International. Listeners can order that series by contacting RFPI. This audio series includes the plenary speeches as well as my live radio interviews during our broadcasting of the event. Please contact Radio for Peace International for more information and ordering. RFPI's website, www.rfpi.org. Or you can always contact me here at Yat Kiddushi Native Center. Email yatkiddushi@earthlink.net. I mention all this because Corbin and Mala, 10 years ago, established with other Native Americans and anti-nuclear activists an important and wonderful organization called Shundahai Network. Shundahai is a Nui Western Shoshone word meaning peace and harmony with all creation. Shundahai was formed in 1994 at the Nevada nuclear test site and has since evolved into an international network of activists and organizations, environmental, peace and justice, and indigenous land rights communities of Nui Sogabia to defend that sacred part of Mother Earth, especially nuclear issues. I am proud to say that I have been a part of Shundahai since its beginning. I know that you, Holly, have participated in a Shundahai action. The network opposes all nuclear weapons research, development, testing, and production. We are fighting to close down the Nevada test site, fighting to halt the proposed high-level nuclear waste dumps at Yucca Mountain and Skull Valley Reservation. Shundahai opposes all nuclear waste dumping on indigenous people's lands. Holly, you might also be interested to know that many years ago, in the 1980s, before and after my time in Central America, I was also heavily involved in the formation of another intertribal, intercultural, environmental justice organization whose main focus was protecting Mother Earth, especially dealing with nuclear issues. That wonderful coalition was named the Clamshell Alliance in honor of our sacred Quahog clamshell. In my Wabanaki homeland, the once beautiful forest, river, and coastal region in what's now called Maine, the United States government seriously tried to place a high-level nuclear waste dump in our Wabanaki Indian Territory. We clamshell did fight that, and at least for now, is not being considered seriously by the U.S. Department of Energy. Sadly, however, the U.S. Department of Energy did approve the construction and operation of a nuclear power monster known as Seabrook. The Seabrook plant was built on a known coastal Penacook Indian village and burial site that we tried to defend. In the words of elder and spiritual leader Corbin Harney, I quote, "It's in our backyard, it's in our front yard. This nuclear contamination is shortening our life. We are going to have to unite as a people and say no more. We, the people, are going to have to put our thoughts together to save our planet here. We only have one water, one air, one earth," unquote. Holly, would you please share any comments you have on what I've just said?
Thank you. Ashunda, hi. What a wonderful organization. That's who, or sort of how I got there. And I think I first went to the Nevada test site in 1988. And I was asked to come there with a large number of people to be a part of a very big action. I sort of want to back up a little bit, because when I was younger, I used to go out near there, not actually where the nuclear testing is taking place, not that near to Ground Zero, but a place outside of Las Vegas called Red Rock Canyon. There are ancient petroglyphs there. It's a very, very magical and deeply moving place for me to be in. So when I was asked to go there through an organization called, I don't think they're still around, the Nevada Peace Test, they call themselves, and others, I came out there. I was to be there, and it was really like a homecoming, because I remember my teenage years when I used to jump in a car and drive up and spend the night out in the desert and feel the spirit of the rocks, the plants, and the cactus that could really survive there, and the strong, strong blue sky, and the ancient petroglyphs in these canyons that I would walk into. I had probably my first really profound spiritual experiences in that desert. So when I returned there with a whole busload of people the next time I came in 1988, it was a homecoming, and I was really, really deeply moved and deeply, deeply angered to understand and to feel the vibration of the radioactive fallout that was there. And I remember standing up on the stage. I was asked to speak. I can't remember what I spoke about, but at the time my 14 or 15-year-old son, Gabriel, was with me on the stage. And I was just looking at a photograph of that the other day and remembering looking out over a sea of people, hundreds and hundreds of people from all over the country and maybe from many other countries too that had come to take part in a whole wave of actions. Some of us were going to just cross the line and probably get arrested. Others of us decided to go deeper in, and we wanted to do what we called walking towards Mercury, which is a little town where there's not much in that town, but it's where the people that are working with the government to brutalize and mutilate this land to do the nuclear testing are housed. And so it was sort of a goal for some of us to take a deeper risk and walk towards Mercury. Which I did try to do, but I was arrested pretty quickly, and I wasn't very good at hiding and merging with the cactus and the ground. As much as I wanted to be invisible, I didn't know how. I remember standing on that stage and looking out, and there's this long fence that goes around, and I saw these people. They were women, and they were dressed really beautifully in flowing clothes, and they were tying ribbons onto the fence. And there were Shoshone people with them. So they were like these white women that I found out later were witches and pagans were with some of the Shoshone people. And I believe a few of the elders were there. And they were weaving their prayers and their spells into the fence. And that was the first time that I ever really experienced, even though I had been a part of civil disobedience and direct action many times before that, and I'd been arrested before that. It was the first time that I started to feel like I could weave my spirituality into my activism. And it really took a long time to sink in and integrate into my being, because many of the peace and justice groups that I've been in coalitions with or have organized with off and on over the decades, they keep the subject of the spirit, of the great spirit or religion, out of it a lot. You know, often we'll have an ecumenical service at the beginning of an action to really weave our life and our magic into our action. I think brings a lot of power and awareness there. So when I think back on my days there and being just a little bit of the part of the reclaiming of the Shoshone land, it was such a privilege, because I think that was my first initiation towards what I call now magical activism. So I have a lot of gratitude. And for those of us that walked onto that land, we out of respect would receive a permit from the Shoshone Nation first before we did that. And I don't know. It's really great. I'm really glad you've asked me about it, because I hadn't been thinking about the Nevada test site and that area and nuclear weapons so much until just this August. I was asked to be a part of something in Naples near here to remember the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Ever since then, for the last month and a half, I've been feeling myself being called back to that in some way, and possibly going back. And thank you. It's really great to be able to talk about that.
Thank you.
Sally, a moment ago when you were talking about, I guess you could use the term spirituality and activism, that's really so important. And as Native people, whenever we have tried to defend Mother Earth and the well-being of all life, we do that through prayer and ceremony, as well as through like direct action, whether it's a fishing rights protest or fighting for what's called American Indian religious freedom, in other words, protecting sacred sites by occupying our prayer sites. That all of the things that we do when we say protest is a little different than the Anglo world. It's not just a political exercise. It's very much trying to honor our Nichitanganooks, our ancient ancestors, and their spirit, and asking for their wisdom and spirit to come into us to guide us in the present time. So very much the question I'm asking you to comment on is what you started to say earlier, and that is how can we help the American people, especially our brothers and sisters who are trying to work in the environmental movement, human rights movement, women's movement, many things, I guess, bring in spirituality?
That's a really good question. I think there's a certain amount of resistance to that, to even, there's like a barrier to break through, not among all peoples, but among a lot of my white brothers and sisters that are activists, and among my larger pagan community that I'm a part of, there's a resistance on their part to talk about politics. And there seems to be a separation between our social, our daily living, our lifestyle, our politics, and then our so-called religion. I've been really, I'm not sure, I want to say thrilled almost. I've been really deeply, deeply excited in the last couple of years to be able to come into a contact with other people that practice so-called earth-based religions or pagan religions that are activists and that are really trying to weave that into their daily life as well as their political actions. An old friend of mine and a well-known author and witch, Starhawk, has really inspired me over the years. And in the last year and a half or so, I've become much more involved with the people that she's been working with, starting in Seattle a while back when the anti-globalization really started to fire up. What this small band of pagans has gone into each of these actions and worked with the anarchists, so-called anarchists, and worked with the nonviolent activists, the American Friends Service Committee folks, the Catholic activists, with the people in the streets, they've tried to demonstrate that we can no longer separate the spirit world from the world that we walk in our daily lives. And so when we go to an action, for example, to a political action, a so-called protest, what we try to bring to that is the magic of song. And we try to infuse the action with the permission and the blessing and the empowerment of the forces of the earth, of air, of fire, and water, and the Great Spirit. We feel that we become very, very empowered by invoking the spirit of the elements of the earth and the Great Spirit, our Mother Earth and the Father Sky, as you might say, to dance and weave that kind of positivity into the protest so that we're not just protesting against the injustice, the war, the oppression, the slavery, whatever the issues are. We are also weaving in the other world that is possible. Because another world is possible, a world of justice, a world of true brotherhood and sisterhood and living in harmony with the animals and the birds and the fish and the sea. And so we call on them as our allies when we're in the streets, when we're online on the internet. We call on them as our allies, and then we remind the others that are around us. Sometimes they're really irritated with us because they're in the middle of their serious intellectual discussion or their angry fists shaking, whatever it is they're doing. And then all of a sudden there's these hippies, you know, look like hippies dancing, holding hands, and weaving in and out of all of these other group of activists. We feel when we do that, and when we dance a spiral in the middle of the streets like we did at the Republican National Convention a couple of weeks ago. In the middle of the streets, we were weaving, spiral dancing in and out. We see ourselves as invoking, like we feel the wind start to swirl around us. We feel the air start to shimmer with a presence, because collectively we are invoking that spirit for transformation. And so it's not just about saying no to the injustice, or sitting in to reclaim the sacred spaces, or to open up the gates of those that are oppressed. It's not just saying no to globalization, no to war, but it's saying yes to the other world that is possible, to a peaceful world of brotherhood and sisterhood. And so we try and demonstrate that, not only in demonstrations, not only in letter writing, but in our private rituals, in our homes, in our hearth, and in our lifestyles. And so a lot of the magical activists, I like to call them, that I've aligned myself with, we call ourselves the Pagan Cluster. We've been really growing over the last few years. Each one of us are doing, and we do it at our own speed, and we try and do it without a lot of judgment of others, is to change our lifestyles, is to really pay attention to what kind of footprint, if you will, that we're leaving on the earth, and try and leave no mark, try and put something back. And I know, personally, I have a really long way to go, but I've been learning from some of my fellow magical activists about permaculture. I've been learning about the importance of trying to give something back to the earth to heal her, because she's really wounded. She's wounded by the nuclear testing and the nuclear bombs. She's wounded by the mining of the minerals. She's wounded by all the oil that we are taking. It's like her lifeblood that we're taking out. And so the less that we can consume that, or if we do consume it, to, you know, feel the pain, to really feel the pain of that. And it doesn't mean not to take pleasure in our lives at all. And so this is a long discussion. It's one I've been having with a few of the people in our newly formed coalition for the television. How can we be positive and loving people and still be aware of all the ugliness and the pain? And that's a really deep, deep spiritual question.
tell you what I see. When mother shakes and moans and says we'll come from the Indian, rolling thunder knows. Let me tell you what my day word will come from Washington.
Listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kidichi Native Center. Yat-Kidichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat-Kidichi Native Center is an intertribal culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat-Kidichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their world views in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat-Kidichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat-Kidichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat-Kidichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing Indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat-Kidichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat-Kidichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat-Kidichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat-Kidichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat-Kidichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat-Kidichi's Kinunwatakwasi Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yat-Kidichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Please write us for our catalog of audio tapes available for purchase. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yatkidichi Native Center, write to Yatkidichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yatkidichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakusin, to all of our relations.
Well, dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. I want to let you know the music that we featured. We heard a very beautiful song entitled Warriors of the Rainbow from Carolyn Hester. And before that, we also heard from our Mohawk friend, Mr. Howard Lyons, from his Sound of America record CD, Spirit Walk. That particular song was for our seventh generation, following the principle of the indigenous belief of seven generations, how we think about our thoughts and actions affecting seven future generations into the future, an earth ethic that we here at Yatkidichi Native Center hopes everyone will soon adopt. Well, in the remaining minutes we have, I'm going to conclude with a very fine song from another friend of Yatkidichi Native Center, and that's our sister Tracy Chapman from her fine EMI CD entitled New Beginnings. The song is entitled The Rape of the World, and it's important that we continue to always remember our work as Earth Justice Warriors to fight for the well-being of Mother Earth and all life, all the relations. Kinon Wontakwasin. And as I speak about that, let me mention something that's very important to us here at Yatkidichi Native Center, and that is also the situation of what in English is called the Farm Workers Movement, the United Farm Workers, not only here in what's now called in North America, but throughout the world. Many people don't realize that much of the food we eat, of course, comes from agricultural labor. And while some listeners may realize that a lot of that agricultural labor in what's now called the United States and Canada is picked from farm workers from Mexico and Guatemala and Central America and the Caribbean, and that's very true. But what most people don't know and probably have never learned is that many of the agricultural produce in the area of blueberries, raspberries, cranberries, for example, were raked or hand-picked by North American Indians, as we're called, my people, in particular the Wabanaki, those of us from what's now called the state of Maine. I grew up as a farm worker. We didn't migrate to different states like some of the Central American folks do, sadly, now. But I remember as a young boy and into my teenage years, working hard in the hot sun many days, especially in the blueberry fields. The issues of farm worker is more than an academic subject to us here. It's a personal thing. And while I've been gifted with a so-called university education as an ecologist, and I don't need to work in the fields anymore, I always think about that. And Yatkidichi Native Center in particular, and our new Southwest Florida Coalition for Progressive Television, is reestablishing our friendship and partnership in a very serious way with the farm worker movement. And as many listeners know, geographically speaking, we are here in what's now called Southwest Florida, Pahayogi in the Seminole and Miccosukee word, the western edge of the Everglades, and this is the area that has largely been abused and taken over by the agricultural industry. And at the center of this are Immokalee farm workers. That's a very small, poor, rural town, only about 10 miles north of where we are located, and it's in fact where I do a lot of my shopping. And if any of you know this part of what's now called Southwest Florida, Immokalee in many ways is like a third world city, and it's mostly Hispanic and Caribbean, and of course a small Native American Seminole reservation there. And the situation of farm worker and agriculture is still atrocious. And I just want to mention briefly a little bit about the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, CIW, and urge our worldwide listeners to look up their website, www.ciw.org. And the Coalition of Immokalee Workers is a community-based worker organization located in Immokalee, the heart of Florida's agricultural industry. Their members are largely Latino, Haitian, and Mayan Indian low-wage workers who have fought tirelessly to raise wages for farm workers, modernize agricultural labor relations, and put an end to modern-day slavery in the fields. The Coalition of Immokalee Workers' work has led to several historic victories, including an end to 20 years of stagnant wages in the tomato industry, an end to widespread violence in the fields, and the discovery, investigation, and successful prosecution of 6 cases of modern-day slavery in the past 6 years, resulting in the liberation of over 1,000 captive workers. Since April 2001, the Coalition of Immokalee Workers has spearheaded the national Taco Bell boycott, calling on the fast food giant to take responsibility for the sweatshop conditions in the fields where it buys its tomatoes. The boycott has grown exponentially, bringing together thousands of church members, students, workers, and community members in the struggles for farm worker justice. And I would also add the term environmental social justice. And this you will be hearing a lot more about, not only here on Wolf Mountain Native Radio, but for those viewers on our Southwest Florida Coalition for Progressive Television's program, Interconnections. So I really want to thank our listeners, and of course thank our guest here in the studio today, and that is Holly Rowan. And Holly and I did a very important interview with our producer, cameraman, Tom Gulcher, recently at the Coalition of Immokalee Workers office. So again, I wanted to bring that up. I want to thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Native Radio. Stay tuned next week on our program. We continue in program 3 of our very fine conversation with peace anti-globalization activist, our friend Holly Rowan. We conclude with, again, Tracy Chapman's song entitled The Rape of the World on her New Beginning CD. Until the next Wolf Mountain Native Radio program, this is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker, along with Betty Hurst, wishing you well. Thank you for listening. Aho, Kinawantakusin, to all of our relations.
The deadly witness to the rape of the world. Stand aside, watch the rape of the world.